Let us now turn to God's Word and read from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. In the second half of chapter 4 in this particular letter and chapter 5, Paul writes about how Christians should live in this world as children of light. And we are going to read from this passage from chapter 5, verses 1 to 14, from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This is God's word. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure: no immoral, impure or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." May God bless the reading of his word from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And let us turn to our second passage this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. In the previous 8 Lord's days, we were looking at the Beatitudes in this particular Gospel, and now we are looking at a passage that follows the Beatitudes. These are the words of Christ as we find it written in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by man. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. May God bless the reading of his word, and through his Spirit, may he work in our lives, indeed making us the salt and the light of this world. Let us pray. Loving Savior, Jesus Christ, we come into your awesome presence with the desire to have your light in our lives. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you will bring to life your word, your written word. You will touch our hearts. You will work out your salvation into a more perfect condition and state in our lives, bringing us closer to you, showing us the radiance, the brightness, joy and the glory of your life and of your light that is waiting for us. So Lord, be among us by your word, by your Spirit, and shine your glory into our lives. Amen. Names are quite interesting things, aren't they? Because names generally describe things and describe people. And we occasionally attach names to certain things and to certain people according to the things that describe them the best. I know, for instance, that at one of the funeral directors, they just simply referred to me as Mr. V. Obviously, they find it difficult to pronounce my surname. And I also know that there's a household where they simply refer to me as the Count. I wonder if you can figure out why. It is interesting, isn't it? How do we remember people the best? And what is describing and characterizing them the best way? I wonder what sort of name is the world attaching to us, to Christians? By what name would the world refer to us? What is the most fitting, the most characteristic quality of ours? Would they say it's just a bunch of people whose actions and ideas are completely irrelevant in the 21st century? Would they refer to us as to bigots, narrow-minded people who cannot keep step with the progress of life and civilization? Certainly, we often can hear these names attached to the church and to Christian people. Most often, this sort of naming is coming from ignorance, without really knowing the teaching of the gospel, without really knowing who Christians are. But sometimes actually it is fitting. After Jesus presented the Beatitudes to his disciples, on the basis of those qualities, on the basis of those characteristics, we looked at into detail in the past 2 months. Jesus said, on the basis of this, you, my followers, my disciples, you are the salt of the earth. And you are the light of the world. That was the name Jesus gave us. This should characterize you the best. Salt and light of the world. These qualities, these distinguishing marks in the Beatitudes, we looked at Sunday by Sunday, should separate you from the world, should define you, your nature, as the nature of the soul, as the nature of the light. This is your function. This is your purpose for which you are here in this world. To be its salt and its light. These qualities, these characteristics in the Beatitudes make you into that salt. Make you into that life. So that means that as we are the followers of Christ, our actions, our daily life should be distinct and recognizable in the world. People should notice that because it is our trademark. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. Now, salt was very precious and very important in ancient times. It's amazing how times change, because nowadays we just take it for granted salt is there as a very inexpensive commodity that we use on a daily basis. If you go to Tesco's or Asda, you can find a huge variety of different salt. But it wasn't the case in Jesus' time. It was very laborious to mine it in the mines or extract it probably around the Dead Sea and use it on a daily basis. It was so precious that often wages were paid in salt. And I don't know if you know it, but I just realized that in English, the word salary, meaning wage, comes from the word salt. Because Roman soldiers received some of their wages in salt. It was so important, so precious. And even one of their wise men of ancient time, Pliny, said, "Nothing is more useful than salt and sunshine." And life was equally precious. Because it wasn't right there beside the door, a switch to turn it on. How easily we take it for granted as we enter a house, as we enter a home, that there should be light there, even in the evening. Light was given by an oil lamp or by candles. And they were fairly expensive as well. Salt was used to flavor the food and also to preserve food for longer time. In fact, even today, it is quite common back in Transylvania I come from. In winter time, which is a season for pig killing, ham and meat are preserved by salt. People rub salt into this meat and simply hang it up. And that food, that meat, remains fresh, even at Easter time. And let me tell you, it is very delicious when you can have the first of that ham at Easter day. And also light in the Bible is a metaphor for truth. It is the power that reveals things that are hidden. It is the power that disperses darkness and hindrances. And Jesus says, "You are like this salt and this light. You are very precious. And you are important for this world. Because without you, this world is tasteless. Because without you, this world is decaying. It's tending to deteriorate day by day. Because without you, this world is in darkness. Because without you, this world hasn't got a clue how to live and what to do, what is right and what is wrong." And if you notice here in the passage before us, Jesus is extremely straightforward with his disciples. He's very emphatic and very personal. He says, you are the salt. You are the light. He's not talking in general. God says, you personally have these qualities. You personally have this potential in you because I gave it to you. I have put it into your hearts to be salt and light, to bring flavor, to bring joy and comfort and hope into this world, to transform this bleak world, this tasteless world, to stop the decay and deterioration that is there in this world, to bring light into the life of people, to show them the truth that is in God, and to shine your light in this world for His glory, that when they see your good deeds, they are going to praise God in heaven. Your actions, your words have to give testimony to this truth. And this world needs you. This world desperately needs you because it is a decaying world. There is this tendency to deteriorate. It was amazing at the beginning of the 20th century, there was a great hope that the 20th century will be a completely different age, when people by education, by learning, will realize what is right and what is wrong. And they will be nicer and better to one another. And wars are going to stop. And hatred is not going to be there between man and man. And look at the history of the 20th century. The two bloodiest wars were fought in the 20th century. Day by day, the world is progressing to deterioration, to decay. And there is darkness in the hearts and in the minds. and there's frustration in the hearts of people who try to break out of this darkness. And they feel they are powerless, they feel they are helpless, and they can't do anything. And they turn to evil and dark actions. And they think they are doing something good if they blow up innocent people in tubes or on buses. And they think they are doing a service for the good by destroying others. Jesus says, you have to be in this world. This world needs you. Because without you, it's going to die. It's going to be putrefied. And without you, it's going to sink into deep, deep evil darkness. You have to be in this world. And you have to be distinct. You have to be different than the world. That's why you are its salt and its light. You are here to influence the world around you. Your environment. You are here because you have a potential in you to transform this world. That's your purpose. That's why you are placed into the world. As salt is put into the food, changes its flavor. As the light is switched on or lit, even the smallest candle will disperse darkness in its environment. It brings change. It brings transformation. That's why you are put into this world. And it is amazing, to whom is Jesus saying this? He's telling this to his disciples. A handful of people. Only a dozen of them. They are not trained in PR management. They have no idea about psychology. They are simple tradesmen. Mundane, simple people like you and me. Fishermen and tax collectors and have other trades. And what Jesus says here, it is not a memo from a multinational concern sent out to the field offices to thousands and thousands of workers. It is said only to 12 people. And what Jesus says here, you, the 12 of you, are the salt and the light of this whole wide world. That is much larger than you. That is much more powerful than you. That has more facilities than you. And yet I'm telling you, you must know it. You have the potential, you 12, to change this vast world. And not the world to change you. You can overcome the darkness in this world. You can overcome the decay in this world. Just like that pinch of salt you put into a pot of food. It's going to change the taste of that food. It is going to become different. Just that tiny candle in the darkness. It will bring light and will reveal things that were hidden in the darkness. You are going to make a difference. So if you feel small, if you feel insignificant, incompetent, helpless, insulted and persecuted. You must know this. You got the power to change the world. You are strong in me, in your Savior. I have given you my Holy Spirit. Change you yourselves from decay to life, from darkness into light. And now I send you out. What a word of encouragement. What a word of encouragement to us to know this. When we feel that the Christian voice is so tiny, so powerless in this world. Jesus says, regardless how small you are, regardless how few you are there listening to my word, you got the power to change. A power that permeates the world. to transform it. Now, in order that you will be able to bring about this transformation, there is a condition. Because Jesus says quite clearly in verse 13, if the salt loses its saltness, how can it be made salty again? If the light is put under a bowl, how can it give light to others? Its place is there on the lampstand. You have to retain that saltiness. You have to retain that power in you you received from me. If a Christian is assimilated by non-Christian values, becomes useless, becomes powerless. The distinctness and the power of the salt is in its saltiness, as simple as that. Your distinct nature in this world is the power of Jesus Christ in you. If you are losing that, you can't bring any change about. The salt is good as long as it is salty. And the Christian is strong and powerful and good only as long as Christ lives in his or her heart. Keep your Christ-likeness. That's what Jesus says. Now I understand that salt, sodium chloride, is quite a strong chemical substance. And it's not that easy to break it down. But if it is not pure enough, if it wasn't purified properly, there can be impurities, particles in it that can change its power, its component, and can contaminate it. And in Jesus, certainly they didn't have all the skills and the facilities to refine salt. So it often happened, they had salt and it was put under a lid, it was put into a container and left there on the shelf for ages. And nobody touched it and nobody used it. When they wanted to pick it up and use it, they realized it's not salty anymore. It is white, but does not taste like salt. It does not have the quality of salt. You cannot preserve food with it. It is just dust. Dust that you throw out on the road and you walk on it. If there is some impurity there, that contaminates it and changes it. If you don't keep yourself close to Christ, if you are not feeding on His Word, if you are not drawing on the resources He's giving to you, His written Word, the Word that is preached, if you are not taking part in the fellowship of His people, encouraging each other and relying on one another, you are going to lose that power, that Christ-likeness. Keep your Christ-likeness, the saltiness of your life. In the same way, the light has the purpose to give light. So it is foolish to put it under a bushel. It is foolish not to lit it when there is darkness. During the communist period, especially in the 1980s of Romania, we used to experience power cuts on a daily basis. Most of the time, these power cuts lasted for about 8 hours a day. Sometimes even for 12 hours. And they were quite clever, because when did they cut the power? When you needed most, in the evening. So candles, oil lamps were extremely precious. And being a shortage of it in the country, it was very difficult to get hold of them. So you were taking care of the candles and you were not using it if it wasn't necessary. And actually, as we had these candles and tried to keep them for worst days, later we realized that it was very foolish of us. Because they simply got bent in the drawer. And you just couldn't use them anymore. Or even if you were able to lit them, they were not burning. They were flicking once or twice and that was it. If you are hiding your potential to change and shine in this world, you are going to lose it. If you are not shining forth And you are not standing on that lampstand. You will lose your own light. Keep close to Christ. Feed on His resources. And keep on shining in this world and shedding the light. A further characteristic of salt and light that is common to them, it is that they give and they expand. When you put salt into the food, when you rub that salt into that meat, it dissolves. But it does not disappear unnoticed, but changes the other substance. You will notice that the salt is in it. And the light is there to burn. The light is there to shine and to be consumed. They are not salt and light for themselves, to make them better, to make themselves shinier, tastier, or to preserve themselves. They are there to make their environment salty. They are there to preserve the world around themselves and to give light to others. They are there to benefit them, to change their lives. That is their purpose. That is their vocation. To be consumed for the gain of others. I call you, says Jesus, I call you my disciples and my followers to offer yourself as a living sacrifice for others. Just like as I came into this world and offered my life that you might have life. The world needs you. The world needs you to consume yourself as salt and light. This is something very eye-opening for us, isn't it? Because in our age, we tend to consume everything that the world is able to offer to us. We are just using it. It is there. It is there for us. And what Jesus says, no, you are here in this world for the world. It is not the world for you, but you for the world. You are responsible for this world. You are responsible for the people around you, in your community, in your neighborhood. Is their life changing? Is their life preserved? Is there light in their darkness? Be salt, says Jesus. Show with your actions who you are. And then lit up your light and bring the good news to them. That's what we are. The salt and the light of the world. Jesus said that we are that. Now what does the world say about us? Are we? Are we the salt? Are we the light? People of God, go with renewed faith, with renewed confidence, and be what you were called to be, salt and light. Fight decay, preserve life, and glorify God with every good deed of yours. Let us pray. Loving Jesus, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for your encouragement, reminding us who we are in you and through you, the salt and the light of this world. Lord, we give you thanks, your calling. We give you thanks, that power, that potential you have put into our lives through your Spirit. And we pray that you will forgive us when we are not drawing on your resources, when we do not feed on your word, and we are not showing your strength in our environment. Lord, be close to us. Grant us the courage, the strength to shine forth day by day, that as people see our good deeds, may praise and glorify our Father in heaven. For they will see and realize the softness in us, the light in us is not our own. We have received it from you. And we are just projecting it and giving it out to others. That they might have life instead of death. That they might have light instead of darkness. Grant us your grace to be that you called us to be, salt and light in this world. And this we pray in your mighty name and for your sake. Amen.